Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, where we discuss all sorts of things Germanic heathenry related. My name is Jesse. I am your host. Let's get into it. Well, hello, and welcome back, everyone, to this week's episode of the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. Good to be back. Good to be here to talk a bit about humanity with a special guest. This is a viewer request, actually. And, you know, I appreciate everyone who's taken the time out of their day to comment and write into the podcast to share their thoughts on things or ask for recommendations. Your voices are being heard. We are rattling these things along, just rattling along, man, you know, just getting them done. And I appreciate it. It makes for good conversation. I think it sparks a lot of good dialogue across the interwebs and just across people's, you know, inner circles too. I think that I like to think that the conversations that get shared here and stuff get expounded upon or added to outside of what even I'm aware of or privy to. So, you know, you guys are awesome. Guys and gals and non-binary folks and everybody that, you know, wants to be involved. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. But yes, today's guest is Sid Ryder. You may recognize him from the Inner Demon Media show. He's got a couple shows, actually, maybe more than a couple, but he's going to talk more about that when he gets here. But yeah, Sid's got a show every week called Talking with Heathens. He co-hosts that show. Papa Olofsson and him do that, and they have guests on from time to time, and I've been a guest on that show more than once. So it seems only fitting to have Sid come and be a guest here on my show. And we're going to talk about, you know, what Sid is doing and his, you know, how he's using his social media platforms. And then we're just, you know, we're going to talk about humanity, what that, taking a look at humanity. And you can come up with what you think this is going to be about, because I sure don't. We're going to ramble on about it, guys, as we do here on this podcast. But before we get into that, I do want to remind everyone that here in just a few days, actually here in just 2 days, on Saturday, June 24th in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, the tribe that I am a part of, Hurrithi Folk, is having a potluck meetup sort of deal. It's a potluck park moot. That was really, really twangy. But yes, it's a park moot, so we're having, you know, food and fellowship, and we invite everyone here in the region to come out for an afternoon of that, you know, food and fellowship. It rain or shine, it's going to be here in Murfreesboro at the General Bragg Trailhead. Details for that are down in the description and show notes of this podcast. So if you're thinking of something you want to do, it's going to happen in the later half of the day. So it's from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. That was the time that I was able to book the pavilion that we're going to be at. And it's, again, it's myself and my tribesmen and my wife and friends of the tribe. And we just want to kind of give the community an opportunity to meet this Germanic heathen tribe that's in Middle Tennessee and see if, you know, friendships can be made and see how the tribe can grow. So I did want to remind everybody about that. And also to be sure to check out the description in the Linktree links. I've added some stuff there to that Linktree, mainly the Amazon wish list. You know, I never come on here to ask for things. I just like to provide people with different opportunities and ways that they can show their support if they're so inclined. So in the Linktree link, there's a link to my Amazon wish list. I do add stuff there somewhat regularly, so take a look, see if it's something in there that you would like to send my way. I will do short form content showing my opening of it, I will definitely shout you out. If you have social media that you would like for me to plug, or a name, or if you just want to remain anonymous, I will do unboxings in short form, you know, so shorts and reels. I will do that here on the Midgard Musings YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Instagram, and share it across to my other socials, Twitter. So there's that. And then don't forget, we're closing in on the end of the month of June. If you are wanting to get involved with Patreon and become a Scald tier patron on Patreon, you get a once a month hour-long Zoom session with me. But you have to be sure to sign up for that before the end of each month. Classes are held on the third Thursdays, I believe it is. It's detailed in my Patreon, so just click on that. But it's the third Thursdays, I believe, of every month. And if you want to be signed up for July, you need to sign up before July 1st. So definitely check that out if you're interested. And check out all the other ways. You know, there's merchandise that you can buy through Spring. All of the sales, I get a commission off of those. So you get some awesome threads to support the brand, and I get a little monetary kickback from it. So you benefit from it. I benefit from it. Everybody happy. And so check it out. There's, you know, free ways to support. Be sure to like, comment, share, subscribe. Follow me on all my socials. The more people that see it, the better that this sort of thing becomes, because we get more people involved, we get more ears, we get more eyes, we get more engagement, and that, my friends, is what it's all about. So let's go ahead and get Sid in here to ramble on a bit, hear what he's up to, what his social media platform is all about, and talk about humanity. Let's get into it.
Road.
All right, folks, we've got Sid Ryder here on the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. You might recognize him from his show, Inner Demon Media. He's got actually a bunch of shows, right, Sid?
I got a bunch of things, really, yeah.
But you've been on with Papa on your Talking with Heathens show every Wednesday now for quite some time. I've been an honored guest there, and I figured, man, it's time to get you over here on this side of the
podcast. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Yeah, man, thanks for being available on such short notice.
I'm all about the last minute stuff myself, to be fair. That's my wheelhouse.
Is it?
Oh, just, yeah. I got 2 weeks ahead of something scheduled, and I'll wait till the night before, or sometimes like during the Talking with Heathen show, I like to change our intro videos out, right? And I literally waited to like 30 minutes before the show came on. That I forgot. I was like, oh man, I forgot that I didn't have an intro video. So I work the best when I'm under pressure, especially at last minute things. Even though I got weeks to plan it to get it done, I usually wait till the last minute to do it.
Yeah, it's kind of exhilarating in a way, isn't it?
It is, really, to be fair. Yep.
Yeah, like you got this idea, this plan, and then oh wait, no, we're going off on this way, and let's see how it goes. You know, it's kind of exciting.
That's how it is. I thrive on last minute things and waiting. Yeah, just waiting for the last minute. I thrive on. I love it. I love the pressure that I put on my shoulders when I do it. Maybe that's why I wait to the last minute, because I enjoy that yeah. pressure I put on my shoulders.
You think it kind of defines your content and the way you present yourself on your shows, like that. You say that last minute kind of pressure, you think that kind of puts you in that headspace to be the host that you've become for your shows?
Because I think for me, I could sit here and put on my board like topics for the show, but I never do. I could sit here if I wanted to and think of topics for the show over the next 2 or 3 months, but I'm one of those type of guys that I'll wait till the last minute before I decide what the show is going to be about, just because I want to feel inspired. The universe has a weird way sometimes connecting with me and saying, hey, this is what the message is going to be tonight. I can start the week off with one idea for a show, and then at the last minute, the universe is like, no, you're going to talk about this.
Mm.
And so I never really try to plan ahead, because sometimes me planning ahead is pointless, because I might see something or experience something during the week that inspired me. And so I'm going to take that, what I felt, that inspiration that I was feeling, I like to bring that onto the show and try to get people to connect with this, why this inspired me, what the experience was like for me and how I got inspired, and why I like, for me, I'm really big about bringing talking about mental health, addictions, and overcoming, because I'm a survivor myself. I was an addict for almost a decade, and then I got myself clean, and I've been now clean for about close to 8 years.
Congrats.
But good I job. Lost my son to it. I lost my son last year due to overdose, and is his a drug addiction? So now it's took on a different meaning for me now. So a lot of what I do, like my posts, where I try to inspire people through my posts with my words that I say, and some people never to give up, has a deeper meaning for me now, because now I'm taking what me losing my son, that experience, and bringing it into the public to let the people know that are watching what I do, that if they're going through something like this, it makes them feel that they're not alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really important for me. That
human, oh yeah, we can tell
the human connection, that human, like the title of the show, humanity, how to bring humanity into our past. And that's where it really plays in for me. I'm connecting on the human side of the people that watch what I do and hear what I do on radio shows. I mean, you would think with the image that I have through Inner Demon Media, like with the demons, and it's kind of dark themed.
Yeah.
But it totally is the opposite of what Inner Demon Media means.
Release your inner demons is the catch line or the catchphrase, right?
Release your inner demons. Yep, that's the catchphrase. Release your inner inner demons. We all have them. We just choose not to hide them.
Gotcha. So it's like embracing the less than savory parts of ourselves and leveraging them maybe to achieve the things that we may not be able to achieve otherwise. Maybe.
Well, you've been doing this for a long time now. You know that there's a certain balance you got to have in your life. And you have to kind of embrace both aspects of who you are as an individual. You've grown, you've gone through life, and you've grown and you become who you are today, but there's still those things in your past that you've done that we tend to kind of like hide, throw away in our file cabinet in our brain, and just kind of file it away and put it in the drawer, in the back of that drawer, and try to forget about it. Where I feel we should face these things and bring those things into our shadow work, basically. But I try to make it more, not so much spiritual way of doing it, but more of a human way of touching somebody. And then they start seeing the magic side of it. The most important thing in magic is us, right? And if people start noticing the things that are happening that's good in their life, they feel that joy, they feel that happiness, and they want to start having more and more and more. So if you can touch person at a human level, it will enhance their path, the walk that they're in their lives right now.
Yeah. And I think that, to your point, you know, putting that human element and making it something tangible, that, you know, sometimes people, I think, may get this idea of spirituality and others, these types of woo-woo things. You know, it's something you can't see, feel, touch, taste, smell. You know, none of those physical senses that we all possess, or a lot of us possess in various ways, you know, it's not present there with that. But when we put a face to it, when we make it something more of the mundane or the profane, even, that becomes relatable. And then we see that magic, as you say, existing within us. And we realize just how much magic is present in the world, and how much control we have over things. We're really not just out here, you know, hurling through space at, you know, mind-numbing speeds, without any sort of course, or without any sort of direction. I mean, there's purpose behind things, as chaotic as it may seem sometimes, and as crazy as it can be. There's purpose behind it, and connecting with all parts of ourselves, even the darkest and most unpleasant parts of ourselves, really rounds it all out, I think, you know?
And it's a tough thing it's tough for people, especially when they have to face certain things that they've done in their past. They kind of come out in the open all of a sudden out of nowhere. And here they are, you know, trying to deal with these past things that's happened to him, whether it's trauma, self-trauma, or trauma coming from other people, or something that's been done to them that's really bad and it's kind of scarred them for life. They hide, they run from it, and when it comes out into the in their face again, they just don't like dealing with it. It's tough, it's hard, because you have to, you're remembering all these things that's happened bad to you. And here's the thing, and I think it's where everybody really kind of gets confused with it all. When it comes to bad things, let's think about it. When it comes to bad things, they don't happen very often. There's a lot of good things happen more so in your life than you realize. But when those bad things come around and they happen, they stick around because they don't happen that much. So why not spend your time thinking about all the good things that you have? You know what? I made a mistake. Okay, big fucking deal. I can move on because, you know what? Or something happened bad to you. Maybe you lost a loved one. You can sit there and dwell on it, or you can take that one bad thing that happened and try to turn it into something positive and start thinking about the good things, the good times, the times that you spent with them. Once again, very bad things happen. Sure they do.
Oh, yeah.
It's the way we have to think about how we approach the bad things. They don't happen that fucking much, and that's why they stick in your head for so long, because you don't have a bunch of bad things happen, and you start missing all the good things in life, the happy moments in life.
Well, it's like that old saying goes, you know, bad impressions are the lasting ones. You know, you have a bad experience that you go out to eat, right? Every good restaurant that you go to, you hardly ever hear about the good reviews of restaurants. All you ever hear about is people complaining about the bad experience they had because they had to wait 20 minutes for their
dinner. Yes. Now think about all the thousands that actually had a good dinner, had great service, but there's no fucking place to put that in there.
Yeah. So I think humans as a, you know, we almost have this inherent tendency to when tragedy strikes or when negative things happen in our lives, it's almost like we're predisposed to just be sucked into that on the long-term basis. Maybe more so, some people more so than others. And not all negative things are measured the same way, right? I mean, that's let's face it. Like if you made a bad decision and you got arrested and you went to jail, that's different than if somebody violated your privacy, raped somebody or something like that. Like there's different levels of, and trigger warning, sorry, I didn't preface that, but like, you know, tragedies and negative things that happen to people are not all measured equally, and they're not all the same. And the way that people respond is different too. Some people respond with aggression. Some people become very reclusive and draw inward to the point of
solitude. I think people go through all the above. I think they go through.
Really?
Yeah, I think everybody goes through all the above. They just, some of those levels, they don't show as much as the next level. You know, if you're grieving, you're kind of pulling yourself back so nobody sees that. But when you're angry, you're voicing it, everybody sees it, right? So I think everybody kind of goes through these phases let's say for losing someone. You know, you go through the I miss them, and the tears, the crying, and then you go through the next phase of, you know, angry. Let's say you're getting angry.
Yeah,
and I think the key to, for me, I've been off and on practice in some form of magic in my life for 25 years. And the older I've gotten, the more I've gotten a little bit more of an understanding of other people's paths and whether I frankly don't care if you're a Christian. I don't care if you're a Norse pagan. I don't care if you're a Satanist. I care less. What I look for now in an individual is who they are. What is their moral code? How are they navigating through life? And I want to see that the human side of the person. You can know all you want and whatever practice that you do, but for me, it doesn't make a bit of difference. If you're walking around cocky, well, I know everything. I know all this, but that doesn't matter to me either. I want to see the human side of the person. I want to see who the person is that decided to go down this path and learn all these things. that's where I'm at. I don't care what anybody practices anymore, and I don't care what I practice anymore. I don't have one certain path anymore. I realize that my magic comes with an end. It's the human side of me, the emotions, you know, me expressing myself. That's for me is where the magic's at. All this other stuff is for me means nothing anymore. It means something, but not at the deep level that I've come to in my life now. 25 years of messing with all kinds of different magic practices, from witchcraft, the devil worshiping, Satanism. I've explored all of it, and I come to one thing: none of it would have been here if it wasn't for the human person, that person creating it.
Yeah, I saw something the other day. I don't know if you you know, like Neil deGrasse Tyson. Star Talk. Yeah. I think is where he puts a lot of his content and stuff. And I saw something the other day where he, and I don't know how old the interview was, but where he interviewed Stephen Hawking, and they were talking about, or he brought up, I don't remember exactly the way it was worded, but religion and science were the topic of his question and during the interview. And you know, I think one of the things that Hawking said was that, you know, before science became a focus or something that humans started really learning about, you know, religiosity, right? That was the thing that early humans developed to explain things that were bigger than they are. And now we have more studies and science that can explain it and sort of, you know, rationalize the things that at a time in history and in human history would be considered magical. You know, they still are magical, but again, that's like the science behind it gets explained. And so when it comes to beliefs, religion, spirituality, I'm kind of with you with that. You know, titles, names of things, you know, how we want to classify ourselves. Well, I'm a you know, continental Germanic pagan. Oh, really? Well, I'm an eclectic Druidic witch, or I'm a this or a that. I mean, cool, but what does it really matter in the grand scheme of things? You know, how are we connecting with our fellow
humans? You can be whoever you are. You can be wherever you are, whatever path you want to follow. But if you as a person that has no morals.
Oh yeah. If you're trash, then it doesn't matter if you call yourself the Pope's grandson, you know?
That's it.
you're still a piece of trash.
Show me
who just so happens to be the Pope's grandson.
Show me your soul. Show me who you are as a person. I don't want, and for me, it's kind of sitting back and watching what a person does, you know, content they put out in public. What's their main goal? Are they wanting to help people, inspire people, or are they out there trying to make a buck?
Yeah.
And I see a lot of people out there that they're trying to make a buck, and I just usually kind of steer away from those type of people. You don't take long to figure out that, you know, they're not these spiritual gurus that they try to claim to be. They're just out there creating content just to try to get paid. And you'll see that a lot in the card reader world. Mediums out there tell you, well,
life coaches.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I don't need nobody to tell me how to run my fucking life. And so I steer away from those people. I want to make mistakes.
Yeah, that's where you learn, you know. And it's part of, you know, we're talking about, and I just want to give credit to where credit is due, because again, the content of this podcast, the topic of this podcast comes from a subscriber, viewer, follower. His name is Michael, and his specific response to what should we talk about on the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, you know, was we should talk about what it means to have humanity. You know, so we're talking about all these things right now, just right off the rip, just getting right into the, you know, digging right in.
Well, I love this kind of conversation.
Oh man. And you know, to have humanity, you know, some of the things you're talking about, you know, exposing ourselves and allowing others to see a bit inside of us. Again, not to be so revelatory that we're sacrificing our integrity or doing things that could be potentially harmful, because again, you open yourself up to a lot when you just
put yourself out there in general. You'll get a lot of criticism just putting yourself out there. What's this guy about? What's he doing? What's right. He represent?
But so much of this, you know, I think what you were talking about before made me think of the word empathy.
Oh, that's
amazing. And that is a huge part of what it means to have humanity, I think. You know, realizing that we're not all the same, that there are things that work for some people that don't for others. And just because it doesn't work for Sid doesn't mean it might not work for Jesse or the next person or this or that. But understanding that everybody is an individual, everybody has their own different ways of doing things, and to be empathetic towards people's discovery of themselves, right? You were talking about being inspirational and saying things, you know, you never know what you might say and how it might impact someone's life for good or bad. That's and it. A lot of people just get on these, and it's made so easy nowadays with the easy access to technology to put your face, put your voice, put your persona on a platform. You never know what somebody's going through, and the thing that you might say could have a positive impact, and then you never know what you might say could really have a negative impact. We don't know. And that's to have that empathy and to realize that we're all in this together, man. We're all here at this exact same point in time. The chances of you and I existing right now in the same century at the same, you know, talking like this, like the chances of this happening have got to be like in the you know, you're probably more likely to get struck by lightning while being eaten by a shark than for stuff like this. You know what I mean? Like, you think about it, from the moment you were conceived, all the millions of sperm that had to get to the egg that
one
made you,
in a million, baby.
You know what I mean? Like, you're literally one in a million or millions. And then of all the people that we could have, you know, connected with, you know, here we are. So it's really when you wrap your mind about, or when you wrap our minds around that and think about the cosmic order of things, and just it's really not, like I said before, it's not that we're just, you know, shot out of a cannon just flying around here all willy-nilly. Like, there's purpose behind it, and to put ourselves into that, yeah, exactly, to realize it, to recognize it, and then to become part of it. Don't just be like, well, I guess whatever's, it's just whatever, you know. Like, man, put yourself out there, become part of things, embrace humanity, and see what can happen. You're doing stuff with Inner Demon Media that, you know, if you want to talk a bit about it, but it's, you know, you're getting eyes and ears on talent across the world, you know, people that may not have heard of things, you know, you're shedding light on all of that.
That,
you know,
was one of my main missions. I wanted to bring two worlds together. When I created Inner Demon Media, it was me wanting to bring the pagan community in with the mainstream society. So it's easy way to say it, pagan community and the mainstream community, the people that don't follow a path or not into the spiritual community. There's everyday people, bands, stuff like that. And I've been really blessed as far as that's concerned. I've met hundreds and hundreds of talented musicians, become friends with some of the, you know, Josie Scott from The Saliva. I became really good friends with him, and nice. we have conversations. He makes videos for me and commercial ads for me. He even sang my wife happy birthday and sent the video to me.
He's a good guy, man. I worked with his sister at a prison years ago. He's a good dude. He used to come to the prison to do like mission work, you know.
Yeah.
With his faith, but he's a solid guy.
He's a Christian, and this is the thing for me. If you can, it's about showing people respect.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I don't care what you are. I don't care if you're a Christian or you're a fucking Satanist. I don't care what you are. I want to see you. And it was one of those type of things where we became friends. It was like a divine timing, because he had a son. His name was Cody. His son passed away around the same time my son, Cody, passed away. Wow. And his son died of COVID, where I died of overdose. But as soon as we spoke about our sons, it was just an instant connection. And we realized we have a whole lot of stuff in common, and we became friends. I mean, he's invited me over to his house. He's invited us over to his shows. I've never gone, but I've been invited. I mean, I don't know what the fuck. What would you do? I mean, I'll be starstruck the whole fucking time. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
You're talking about Josie Scott of Saliva, one of my favorite bands in the early 2000s. I mean, Click, click, boom, Your Disease. I mean, those are some of my favorite songs.
They were the anthem of the early 2000s, man. Like, they were right up there with some of the other, like, you know, Dope and Static X. I mean, like, they were, you know, they were right there on that level.
And then here you are. It's you're already in shock and all, having this guy that you kind of looked up to in music-wise. You're having a one-on-one conversation in Facebook Messenger, and you just, like, you're an awestruck. So I could just about imagine going to his house. I'm just like,
but you know what, man? That's where the humanity of things come in.
Yeah.
Right. You guys relate. You guys connected at a very visceral level. You know what I mean? Not many people in your life maybe that could connect with you in that way. You know, and here this guy is
like that one in a million shot.
You know,
that we were talking about earlier. I mean, that's one in a million that scenario with our sons would have brought us together. That was like divine timing. But yeah, I've just been blessed. I really have, and I couldn't be more. I could be more happier. I mean, to be honest, I mean, I when I first started doing it, I couldn't get one single guest to come onto a show. I was like, man, what am I going? I was doing a different at the time. I was doing a show called Heathen TV, and I had a cast of people that was working around me, and they all created their own shows. And then I would get the shows, and I would do the editing and putting the shows together. And then we did everything strictly through YouTube.
Yeah,
I had like seven shows, one new show a day, and I would edit all seven of those shows from different people doing their own thing. And so I wasn't feeling it. Maybe because I was just getting burnt out. And so I kind of ended the whole Ethan TV thing. And then I was like, I took about a 6-month break, and I was like, all right, so I want to switch over from the witch pagan community. I want to kind of go more mainstream. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, how am I going to go about doing this? And so I said, well, what's my goal? What do I want to present this as? And once I figured that out, then I could start building around that and start sending out a message. But it took me about 3-4 times trying to get a band to come on. And I finally got one to come on. And once I did that, it just kind of started taking off. I was having bands on 3-4 times and not a week sometimes. I mean, I was just, everybody wanted to be on. Yeah. Well, it wasn't a conventional show. You know, you get those music band interviews, and it's the same 20 questions, you know, how'd you get the name? With me,
what's your inspiration?
I've had guests pull their pants down, put their balls on a scale, and weighed their balls on a scale. I've had music guests come on there and make out with teddy bears. I've had a music guest come on and try to see how many eggs he can crack over his junk.
How many was it?
One, and he had it took him, I swear to you, it took him 4 times. He raised his arm down and came down as full as hard as he could on his crotch. They wasn't right. Busting. So he went to the kitchen. Only thing was busting. He was busting his own eggs.
What the hell, man? Did he freeze the egg or something ahead of time? Like,
no, I was shocked that he didn't bust the first time, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
So he had to go in the kitchen and grab this little small little strainer, like a little egg strainer, and put it into his pants. And then that's how he cracked it and busted it.
Do you remember who your first band was that you ever had on your show?
Let me think here. Damn, man, because I got 275 interviews on YouTube of me interviewing bands.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think what the first one was. I want to say King Voodoo.
Okay.
I asked a DJ, and well, what happened was a promotion company from UK saw what me and my co-host was doing at the time, where the show was called Talking with Demons. And they seen how our interviews was going. And I mean, these shows would be like, literally like anything goes. Like
almost like a Howard Stern.
Yes. That was my vision. I wanted to be the Howard Stern of the pagan community.
Oh wow.
I had people doing hand puppets for me on the show. And yeah. They'd be like little mascots that would come on the show, and I would have like a conversation real briefly with them. But I was always trying to come up with new over the top ideas. I wanted to be different than what everybody else was doing. You know, the typical 20 boring questions. I wanted to have fun. And so I made sure that people were laughing and enjoying themselves. And
yeah.
And I mean, literally it just took off, and I'm just so blessed to be able to have so many people accepting my message and what I'm trying to do. And now people are seeing that I am a pagan, and there is this spiritual side to me. So many of these people that didn't realize it are now realizing it. And then they're like, holy shit, this is who this guy is.
Yeah.
Always don't judge a book by its cover. Always open that book and read them, because you never know what you're going to learn about that person. And I guess it surprised a lot of people.
Yeah, that goes back to kind of like that thing you were talking earlier about, you know, sharing our souls, you know, being vulnerable and putting ourselves out here in a way that may be uncomfortable at first, but look at the outcome from it. You know what I mean?
Every show had a message, but for me, it was very important for me to connect with an audience on a personal level. Whether it's they're feeling what I'm feeling or I'm making them laugh, you're touching a certain part of who they are, the human part of them. And once you're able to crack that egg open, that's when you're able to start putting those messages in of giving people hope or talking about, you know, never giving up, whatever I'm able to slide in. I always slid in some sort of message in every show, because now they're open to you. They feel like they know you in a sense. After you have a wild and crazy show and everybody's laughing and having a good time, they feel like they kind of know you, and you're able to more easily get into them and give them a message.
Oh yeah. It's because it's relatable, you know? And that's what I like about the shows that you have with, you know, I may not watch all of them, but like with Papa Olofsson, the Talking with Heathen show, and what I've become to do, you know, it's so organic. It's very conversational, and it's real people talking about real things. And sure, this is a heathen podcast, and you know, in many ways, I look to
the only heathen for him. It's him. It's Papa. And that's the beauty of the show. We're talking with heathens. I mean, we all are heathens. Let's be honest. We're all heathens. No matter what path you fucking follow, we all have that heathen side. I mean,
you're all degenerates.
Yeah. that was the big thing when I was a kid. You're acting like a bunch of heathens. Thank you. So I'm doing, but with Papa, that was a very interesting way that all came about. When I first met Papa, I had one interview with him, and I had a couple other co-hosts, and I had this show with him. It wasn't a great show. My other co-hosts were kind of like talking over everybody, which it just wasn't kind of like your first show with me. We had another co-host with Pop and I. We had another co-host, and it was kind of like we all was getting talked over and having to listen to someone else's experiences, and we're trying to learn about your experiences. That's why I was so eager to get you back on again. But when I met Papa, the show wasn't that great. I'm not afraid to say that I have bad shows, and that wasn't a great show. I've had quite a few bad shows.
So have I, man.
And that's just part of it, and I don't let it get to me. I had a bad show. I'll make up for it. Mm-hmm. But it was a bad show. Then, like, the next day, I get a message from Papa. And I thought, well, this dude ain't going to ever talk to me again. I mean, this was just a shitty fucking show. I mean, he was literally... he was literally sitting back on his couch with his hands on the back of his head. And just feet up, just chilling. I mean, he didn't hardly talk at all the whole show. But he messaged me the next day and goes, "Man, I went through your YouTube and I watched some of your shows, and I'm a big fan of Saliva and Josie Scott, and there's something about you, dude, that I really like." And he goes, "Would you ever consider bringing me onto a show, like be a co-host?" I was like, "What?" I'm like, "What? Have you not seen my shows, Papa?" I mean,
you want to be a part of this train wreck? No disrespect, but you know what you
I mean, it was my shows at the time weren't spiritual shows. They were just music interviews and having fun, and there wasn't nothing spiritual or anything like that at all. So I was kind of shocked, you know, him asking me, "Hey, would you?" I was like, "Well, fuck, man, I'll bring you on. We'll fucking do it." And it took me about, at this time, I just lost my son, and I brought him in, and I was mourning really bad at the time. So I kind of withdrawed from everybody, and kind of went into my own little cave and became a hermit for a little while until I felt like I was healing enough. I mean, in 1 year, that the last year, and that year I lost my dad in January, and then turned around in June, had to bury my son. So I was hit double whammy. I just got over my dad, and then a month or two after I felt like I was feeling better about that, I get hit that my son passed away. So I was like, I was just a hot mess. So it took a few shots of what was going to work for talking with heathens. That wasn't our first idea. I think at first it was everyday magic, and then we changed it to the witch's hour. And then
I was like,
all right, this is still not working. I'm not feeling the title. I'm not feeling us. Like, it needs to be something that perks my ears up. And I was like, what about another version of talking with demons? Let's try talking with heathens. And then we just have an open conversations, and this would be the show that we can kind of put a message out there or a topic out there, people to connect to. And it was kind of rocky at first because we was trying to find our me and his flow, but once we found our flow, it's just been really turned out to be a really great show.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've enjoyed, you know, whenever you, cause you know, you put them out on multiple platforms. So they come across as live streams, you know, so you're engaging with your audience, like in real time, which is really cool. And, again, having been on as a guest, you know, a couple of times, it's an enjoyable experience, not just to be, a viewer, a subscriber, a supporter, but to be to participate in it. And see the humanity of everybody, right?
That's kind of what the show is about, is showing the human side of who these people are that are practicing like Norse Papa animism and Norse pagan. Everybody knows that's what he is and that's his path. This show kind of pulls a couple of those layers back a little bit, and you get to see a different side of Papa. You know, people see him in his posts like now and it was a bit of a challenge for him to start doing these shows like this. He wasn't comfortable with doing them. He didn't know. He just was really quiet at first. And
yeah,
I was peeling those layers back on him, and I got to start seeing this different side of Papa. You know, we see what we see on Facebook, but I started peeling these layers back, and I started seeing another side of Papa. And yeah, that's when we started to thrive on our shows, when I actually got to see who he is, who he really is.
Yeah, I had him on my channel years ago, and it was like an interview sort of thing. And it was, I think, actually, he came to me and asked if he could interview me on my channel. So he's like, would you mind if I like interviewed you and, you know, you publish it on your channel? I'm like, sure, why not? Like, because, you know, I'm usually the one talking to people or interviewing them or asking them. So let's kind of flip the script here. Let's reverse the roles. And I remember a few of those early times of getting him on camera. You know, it was a totally different version of him then than what it is now. He's really found himself as an online personality in front of a camera. He's still Papa. Like, he's still that Appalachia, you know, sing-song voice, kind of just chill dude. Like, he's still
my
that.
My favorite moments with him is when I'm able to make you, like, literally bust out laughing. Them are my favorite times of the shows, when I'm able to crack that nut.
Yeah.
And make him smile or laugh or joke about it. Because people don't get to see that side of him unless they've met him one-on-one in person or something like that. I'm sure people see that side, but the public doesn't.
Oh yeah.
And so it's really cool people being able to see this side of who Papa is. And I tell you, I love the guy. I really do. I can't speak more highly of him, really. And he's come a really long way doing this stuff. And he's really, really blossomed into something. He's really blossomed into something special.
Yeah. And having gone and seen him, you know, having met him in person, visited him and his family several times, and will continue to do so. It only gets better when you're with him in person, you know, seeing the stuff that he shares on his socials and then seeing him in front of the camera. Like, yeah, those are the layers that get peeled back and you see that. But I'm telling you, man, you sit and have a meal with the man, or just smoke a pipe, or not even do anything, just talk in person, go on hikes, just whatever. It's enriching, and it does something for for me at least, like it does something for my human self. Like it's enriching. It's enriching. You know what I mean? Like you could be in a bad mood, and I can't tell you how many times I've, you know, gone to him in confidence about certain things because I can trust him with that. And I know that he's trustworthy, right? Exactly. And you feel so much better afterwards. Like you could feel like an absolute pile of dog shit talking to him. You walk away or you leave the conversation
and you feel calm and at ease. Yeah. You're not angry no more. You're not venting anymore. He really does. He's a good person to talk to. He really is. If you get to know him at that level, you can confide in him and he can confide in you. I mean, you come out of the talking with him. I've had some rough days.
Yeah.
And I'd go, hey, man, what you up to? You feel like talking 4 minutes? Like, man, I got time for you anytime.
Yep.
And that's true. That's how he is.
And that's what I'd love to see, you know, when folks like yourself and others who I've come connected with through either this podcast or, you know, just other ways, you know, over social media and establishing meaningful relationships with people and seeing people for who they are and embracing all aspects. Because let's face it, you know, the humanity, you know, the humanity and knowing that a friend, you know, somebody that you connect with, you're going to have to deal with them and they're going to have to deal with you when it's not all sunshines and rainbows.
That's it.
You know, you're going to have to deal with someone when they're being a total ass, and then vice versa, you know, they're going to have to put up with you. And that's like the hard part. That's the hard part of humanity that I think people, because, you know, look, I'm all about positivity and encouraging people and giving people reasons or feelings of keep going, don't give up. Like I'm all about that. And I know you are too. And then there's also parts of me that are like, sometimes you just want to get on here and shake a mother. You know what I mean? Just
I'll do that too.
Beat somebody virtually over the head and be like, you need to nut up or shut up because you're being ridiculous or whatever. Like, and get visceral with them. And that's part of humanity too, because it's, again, it's the spectrum of human emotions. It's the spectrum of the human experience.
Embrace it all.
Those inner demons, right? Those things that are less than savory, those things that you would rather suppress or hide or keep concealed, you know, because I don't want to look bad or, you know, I don't like that, and facing it and using that as the
really worried about their image. Is it going to harm them? And
right.
I don't give a fuck. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care what you think about me. I'm not on this earth to care what you do think about me. I'm doing what I enjoy. And there'll be times where I'll get on a damn show and been one time here with Papa once. I kind of went off on somebody on the show. It was in the comments where I was like, you know what, fuck this, I'm gonna say something.
I remember that show. I wasn't on that show, but I remember watching. I was like, you know, that meme, you know, like here I am like grabbing the popcorn getting ready for, oh here we go, you know.
It takes a bit to get me to that point. But when you have enough, you have enough. And I had enough that show, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna, you know, this person was partaking in what I was doing. She was part of some things that I was doing through Inner Demon Media, and it just ended, and that person couldn't let it go. And it kept going and going and going and going. And I was like, you know what? I've had enough of this. And I seen that person's face, and I guess I'm acceptable to getting triggered too, folks. I got triggered when I seen that name and I went off.
Yeah. What do you think about, I mean, if you want to talk about it, we're talking about things of, you know, what it means to have humanity and empathy being a really big, really big component to having humanity and displaying humanity. You know, what do you find helpful with, you know, dealing with people when they're triggered? You know, maybe it's something you did that triggered them, and now you're having to deal with the fallout of the that PTSD that sets in from the trauma, you know, from being triggered.
You have to have a little bit of humility and accept that if you was wrong, you was wrong, and never be afraid to apologize if you offend someone or make someone mad. Also, though, too, is you have a really important key, because I deal with a lot of people. I got a chat room with a bunch of people in it, so I'm constantly dealing with personalities. And so the really key for me is understanding. Once you start understanding the person and the way they function, you try to navigate through that. And there'll be times where you want to trigger that person, and I'm guilty of it, because I deal with so many people, and they come, sometimes they come at me with the same problems. It's the same thing over and over, and it's a vicious cycle that they're not trying to break. I'll be that guy to say, hey, look, you know, you need to stop doing this. And sometimes they take it well, sometimes they don't, but it's really important to have a little bit of understanding and be honest with people. It may hurt, it may upset them, or they might take it and the eyes may be opened by it, but it's really, you have to be honest. I mean, if you're not honest with people you're working around or working with, it's never going to work out.
I agree with that, but I also see where you have to be tactical about it, right? I mean, or do you? Because how often have you experienced a situation where you were brutally honest with someone, and the next thing you know, you're gaslighting or you're a narcissist now? And it's like, hold on, wait a minute. I'm just being honest, and you can't handle it. Like, have you ever had that?
Let's be honest. If we're getting accused of that, we probably are doing that.
Really?
We'll think about it. We probably are doing that, just for the simple fact that we see something that's flawed with them. And for me, and I know it sounds bad, and I probably am, you know, I'll be the first to admit that I do gaslight, I guess, certain people within my inner circle. Like, if you're doing something wrong, I'm going to call you out on it. So in a sense, that could be gaslighting them, because you're trying to bring them out and be more open and honest about what's going on. So you kind of have to gaslight them a bit. But I'm not a big guy about gaslighting anybody or gatekeeping anything. People that DJ for my radio station, one of their first questions is, what can I play? What can I present my show as? And I'm like, I don't care what you present your show at. It's your show.
Your show.
Do what you want. You want to cuss 1,000 times? Cuss 2,000 times. I really don't care. I'm not here to tell you how to do your show. All I ask you is to let me know if you can't make it to a show. Let me know. That way I don't promote it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, just have fun and enjoy yourself. You don't need somebody standing over you telling you what to do. It's your fucking show. And we get a lot of that in the pagan community. A lot. That's why I'm not part of a lot of groups, because I can't stand the gaslighting. I can't stand the gatekeeping. Who the fuck are you to tell me what's right or wrong?
Right. Yeah. I just look at it as a way of in a tough, it's like a tough love sort of thing. That's the way I've always seen it, because if, you know, I remember hearing about gaslighting and I tried to, you know, do some research, because I'm like, what does this even mean? You know, like, I know what the two words together mean, but what are you even trying to imply when you gaslight someone? And I've ended up finding out that the term came into use from an old, it was a play, and it was a play that was the storyline, I guess, was something like, it was a husband and wife, and the husband would tell the wife every time, like, she's like, you know, you're drinking too much or whatever. Like, she would point something out. Let's, you know, whatever, just using that as an example, like, you're drinking too much, or you're not cleaning the house or whatever. And, you know, his responses was, that's ridiculous. Look at what I do. He was invalidating everything that she was saying. And also to the point of making her believe that what she was seeing and what she was identifying as an issue really wasn't there. Like, he was contorting and twisting the perception of things to where she got to a point where she believed, like, well, I guess I am wrong. You know, I get it. Some people really do that. Some people are so absorbed with themselves that when their faults are brought to light, they'll try to make themselves look good and deflect and tell the other person why it's not that way or justify it. I've been guilty of that. You know what I mean? And
I'm sure all of us have.
But how much of, you know, showing someone where they're wrong and why they're wrong and trying to be rational and logical about it is really just what that person needs, that tough love, but they're just not ready for it, or they're unwilling to face those You'll face that music.
That was one of my issues I had an issue kind of similar to that where it was a couple of bad shows. So I talked with the person about it. Like, hey, do you mind not doing this anymore on the show? Because, you know, it's kind of embarrassing for not only for what we're doing, but for yourself as well. And they just didn't take it good at all. And I'm, you know, it's not that I was being mean about it. I was being very gentle as I possibly, because I considered the person a friend. So I didn't want to come off harsh. I mean, this person has been to my house. I've broke bread with this person. So I wasn't being mean or rude about it. I was just like, hey, I don't care if you do this, but let's just try not to do it let's not try to get inebriated during the show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we can drink. Sure, we can moderately drink. I've had a few shows where I had a few drinks as I was having the show, but I didn't come out the show inebriated, and I didn't make myself like an ass. Well, maybe I did, but not in that kind of way.
Right.
And yeah, right, sometimes they're not ready for it. They don't want to hear that. They're on their own path, and to hear something that's some people just don't like hearing that there's a fault there. And
I don't think any of us
reaction is to deny it until it comes back to them. It's like, all right, I'm not part of this no more. Why am I not part of this anymore? And then you realize, okay, maybe that person's right what they were saying. And I just didn't want to hear it at the time. Now that I've had time away from all and I'm hearing it, makes them want to come back. They miss what they had, and now that they don't have it.
Yeah. And maybe there's really good intentions behind it. You know, I've talked on my podcast about shame culture and the difference between shaming and guilt tripping someone. And from like a heathen perspective, you know, everything of course being relevant, you know, you look at ancient societies, shame culture was a vital part of keeping order and keeping things that, you know, keeping order in the community or keeping order in the society. Because look, if Jim Bob over here was doing something that was detrimental to the overall community, then one of the ways of putting him in check was to shame him about it and to bring shame upon him or make him feel shame about it. It was corrective action. It was tough love. It was the thing that worked for the society at the time. Maybe it's just because we're in this, you know, era of our human existence that, yes, very sensitive. And so when I said earlier, like being tactical about it, like the intention behind what we're trying to do, like we're trying to smack some sense into people, proverbially or literally, smack some sense into people. That doesn't really work so well for the majority of people. You gotta, you know, be a bit more delicate nowadays, and you can still achieve. Yeah, exactly. Have that understanding, have that empathy. You can probably achieve the same result without coming across so callous about it. And that's one big thing about myself that I've had to evaluate at this point in my life is, you know, I can be a real jerk sometimes. And it's with the intention of like, look, quit pussyfooting around the subject. Like, damn it, face the music. And even if you don't like it, face it. I do, right? Toughen up, man. You know, shit or get off the pot. Like all of these things that were echoes of the way I was brought up and raised, and you know, projecting that to other people that doesn't work for them, or you know, like for me personally, I don't respond well to when people come at me and tell me you should do this, you have to do that, don't do this. I'm like, excuse me, you're not my parents, you can't tell me what to do, I'm a grown ass man, right? All these types of things. But if you approach me in a different way and say, hey, this is what I'm noticing, this is what I'm seeing, have you considered like a different approach about it? You can each still person, achieve the same thing.
Yeah, each person you got to treat a little bit differently. Yeah. I don't come off like when we talk like you ask, I don't try to come off like a jerk. It's just those moments where you have people that you've worked with for a year or so. And so, you know, you get more personal, you become more friends, and you're able to navigate, you know, situations like that a little bit better than a complete stranger. A complete stranger hitting up an inbox asking for help or needing something like that. Yeah. You really have to show a human side to that, those situations. You have to be a little bit more sensitive because you don't know what you would say that would trigger them into doing something bad. If they're in a bad spot in their life, you saying you could say the wrong thing. And I'm really big about I'll talk to you, but if it becomes too deep, I move them to somebody that's able to deal with these situations better.
Yeah.
You know, like drug addiction, I push them in a professional help because I'm not professional. I'm only talking about my life experiences, and if you can relate to, that's great. But if it goes really deep and like, you know, they're suicidal or depressed, you know, I'm going to talk them down, but I'm also going to say, you know, hey, call a professional, try to get some help. It's all right. It's not embarrassing to do that. We all at some point in our lives need help. Don't be embarrassed about it. I mean, don't, because, you know, I being an addict, I didn't go to like rehab or those 12 steps type of thing. I didn't do all that. I just quit, and I did it probably the hard way because I didn't have no like, but my wife at the time, when we got together, I was starting to wing myself off. So when it was a lot, having her around encouraging me and helping me get through it, it was a lifesaver for me. But each case requires something a little bit different. I totally agree. You have to be tactical with it, of course.
Yeah. And, you know, we experience and we encounter so many different personalities, especially doing the types of things that, you know, we do, meaning, you know, you have a show that you host and I have a podcast, and, you know, we have people who we maybe have only talked with a few times wanting to express and talk about their things that they want to talk about on these platforms. You know, you bring guests on, I bring guests on, and we're showing the human side to the world. And it's like a, I don't know, man, it's pretty wild to think about what things like this can accomplish, what things like this can do.
Favorite part of what I do is getting those DMs.
Yeah. I'll say you probably get messages all the time.
Getting those DMs after a show. And then they're just like spilling their life to you. It's like, man, I know exactly how you feel. I lost my son, and I lost him due to drug. I mean, I get those good shows where it's really kind of giving a positive message out there. The greatest joy I can get is getting those confirmation messages from people. That, you know, this show touched me. This show made me feel this way. Thank you for bringing this kind of stuff up, because we don't do it enough. And that just brings me great joy. That's worth every fucking penny that I spend out doing what I do.
Yeah.
Likes, the
rewards.
It ain't the shares. Yeah. It ain't the views. I don't care how many people watch my show. I what matters to me the most is that I'm touching somebody in some shape or form. I'm touching them in a human level where they're able to feel like, once again, like they're not alone in these situations, that there's somebody else out there that goes through it, and listening to their stories, and listening to your stories, we're connecting at that deep human level, and that's the magic of it all, is that core, your heart. If you could touch that, there's nothing that you can't touch, and that's some powerful shit.
Yeah, you know, and on top of that, you know, you have the magic of music incorporated into your stuff, you know, and I know you've talked about it on your show before. I even think I've been a part of it, whether watching or as on a guest, you know, like the power that music possesses to communicate and speak with people in ways that words cannot.
That's it. And music is like, for me, is like one of the most powerful tools in magic. You don't have to be a pagan. You don't have to be a Christian. Music will can connect with you in so many different more levels than the spiritualism or the paganism. It's deeper than that. You're touching that heart, that core of that human, and they're listening to a song and it reminds them of their childhood. That's magic. Mm-hmm. If they're listening to a song and it starts a new memory, that's fucking magic. And that's where I try to make the connection with magic, paganism, and witchcraft, that magical aspect. People get caught up in the books. People get caught up in witches, especially sometimes get caught up in having all the right magical ingredients. So it's not none of that. Fuck, all you need is a finger in your mouth and you can get accomplished all you want to. Believe in yourself. And that's a big thing. If you can believe in yourself that you can achieve anything that you want, that's half the fucking battle.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You have to believe it. And you have to experience that, you know, there definitely is the experience that I think allows that magic to come to life. It's inherent in all of us. It exists at a very primal layer or a primal level.
Yeah.
And a lot of people haven't dug deep enough, or a lot of people haven't, you know, you drill deep for oil, or you drill deep to tap a well. You know, a lot of people haven't drilled that deep yet. A lot of people haven't gotten there yet.
Well, I mean, everything's about manifesting, and that all starts from within. Starts from your brain, and then from your brain out your mouth or on paper, and you're presenting it into reality. Everything starts and ends with you, the human being. And then if you can tap into your human self, and the moment you're able to tap into yourself, no matter what you take on in life, it's going to amplify it so much more, because you're in touch with yourself. You accepted every aspect of who you are. You've technically freed yourself. And from when people talk about awoken or being awake, I don't define like normal society calls awake. It's the moment that you realize that you've accepted every part of yourself and you're comfortable with it. You've kind of awakened this other person inside of you that you didn't know was there. And then all of a sudden you start believing in yourself. And then all of a sudden you start taking on new adventures, and you realize that this is what's happened in my life doesn't really define who I am now and what I'm going to be later. And it's very eye-opening. For me, it was eye-opening. That's to get to where I'm at today. I had to do a lot of dirty work in my life, a lot of shadow work, a lot of looking at my past and trying to find my flaws. Or why is this happening to me? Why am I getting so upset about stuff? So I had really dig and really understand who I was. And then I realized, okay, my problem is I'm not accepting everything about myself. Yes, I've been to jail lots of times. Yes, I was an addict. Things that normal people would hide from, I couldn't hide from it. I had to expose it for what it was and accept it and learn how to move on.
Yeah, unlocking your inner potential, unlocking your true potential. You know, I've said this throughout my life, and I believe it to be true. Our minds, we ourselves, I mean, and I say our minds because so much of what we are driven by is what ghosts are up in this, up in here. It's such a powerful thing, because if you think about it, the negative things that happen, you were talking earlier about if you're honest and you take everything into perspective and you realize the percentage, the amount of negative things that happen vastly, it's outweighed or it's outnumbered by the positive things that happen in life, you know, but we focus on the negative things. And I've said for a long time that when it comes to mental struggles, and I'm not trying to dismiss or lump everybody into one category, but if we allow the negativity to take over our mind, that's all we're going to be able to think about. Our mind is powerful enough to switch that off. We can focus on the positive things. We can focus on the things that are constructive. We can focus on the things that are good and overwrite that negativity. It doesn't erase it. It doesn't make it go away. But the power of the mind is so much so that if you can allow those self-deprecating thoughts or those depressive thoughts to ruin your life, then by God, you can also turn on that part of yourself to make yourself better and focus on the things that are going to improve your overall quality of life. It's there. You have that ability. It's literally there. You're just not seeking your true potential yet.
Accepting it, and you're not coming to terms with it. And it'll eventually catch up with you until it'll make you deal with it at some point in time. It never fails. I mean, all those little bad things, you know, all those little broken things, all those little broken parts in our lives, all the things that we've done wrong or the mistakes that we made or bad choices that we've made, those little broken pieces creates a great, big, beautiful masterpiece of a life and a person that you are. If you can learn to accept all aspects of your life, you are creating this masterpiece, this Mona Lisa, so to speak, of art. And there's no greater feeling being learning how to be okay with the things that you've done wrong in your life. Are you proud of them? No, I'm not saying I'm proud of them.
Right.
What I'm saying is I accepted them. Yes. And a lot of times when we do bad things, especially in our 20s, I don't know about you, but for me, in my 20s, everything I did bad, I blamed it on somebody else. Well, my mom and dad wasn't around, or this person put me in a position where I had to do it. No. Nobody put you, nobody did anything. It's you trying to push problems onto somebody else. The moment you're able to accept responsibility and show accountability, the moment you're able to say, all right, yes, I did this. Can I change it? No. Will I do it again? No. You learn how to learn lessons from your mistakes. And once you're able to do that, you're creating this beautiful piece of artwork that is going to inspire a lot of people.
It's like this thing. I'm pointing here because it's going to appear in as an in-screen image. But I shared this earlier today, and it was like the timing of it. It says real growth is when you start checking and correcting yourself instead of blaming others. You take power. You take your power back by being responsible for your life.
And that's why I said this right here and gave you that finger point. That is like,
you saw it. And I'm like, the timing of it, you know, and again, we're beautiful disasters. Let's be real, right? Let's embrace the whole aspect. There are things about us that are disastrous and chaotic. And in that imperfection, we are gorgeous.
That's it.
We are phenomenal existent. You know, we are phenomenal beings of nature. There's nothing like us out here that in terms of this area of the, you know,
we're
universe.
We're not perfect, so why bother trying to be?
Right. Embrace the imperfections.
Embrace everything. That's where real growth comes in. That's when you really start, your path really starts to take off, is when you completely just give into it all and say, all right, you know, yeah, I've made some mistakes in life. I've hurt a lot of people and I've done bad things, but that doesn't define who I am. It's okay. I made the mistakes.
And really focus on trying to do better, right? Knowing that there are opportunities for us to improve, and don't use the negative things to be an excuse as to why you're a jerk or why you're this or that. Like, oh, well, I guess I'm just a piece of trash and that's all I'm ever going to be. Like, I'm not saying just accept the fact that you're, you know, but recognize those things and use those things to realize like, hey, you know what? I saw this thing too about, and this kind of has some relevance to the whole thing about how trees grow, right? And you watch a tree and how it grows, and you put your hands all over the trees, you're going to find bumps and you're going to find knots. Those knots that are on trees are the result of branches that at one time were there that ended up getting broken off. And so it's kind of like a scar on that tree. It's a memory of a point of that tree's life that something was there and now is no longer. It's still a part of that tree. It's still a part of that body. We've got knots all over us, man. We've got scars. We've got things that have happened to all of us in our lives that make up this tree, that make up this, you know, sentient being, this person, this thing. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. We're all unique in that way. You know, there's not one single tree that looks exactly like the other. There's not one single human that looks exactly like the other. We're all unique. We all have our knots.
Yeah, and you're not going to like it. You don't have to like what you've done wrong. You don't have to like it. Matter of fact, yeah. I want you to hate it. The more you hate it, the more likely that you won't do it again.
Do it again. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, we're not saying that, you know, you should embrace your flaws and not try to repeat them. Like, definitely realize like, hey, dude, don't want to do that again. You know, I mean, those memories are there
like
for a reason.
It take 20,000 times to figure it out.
Me too.
But you know, that's not advised.
Yeah. Do not recommend. That's like a good 0 out of 10 would not recommend, you know.
What you really want to do is just accept. Don't have to hide from them. It's all part of all those things that's happened in your life is all part of who you are. What the DNA of the person that you are today. No, you don't have to like the shit. You can. We want you to hate it, because hopefully you're growing from it. And you won't do it again, and you'll start becoming more of a better person. And sometimes that takes more than one time to do.
Yeah,
the human things, the human factor of it all.
Yep. Yeah, we're not the best, a lot of us, at learning from our mistakes the first time. We have to test it. We have to test.
You have to go back and do it again. You don't go to jail as many toes and fingers that you got without learning the lesson the first time.
Pushing our luck, you know. Humanity.
I mean, I did a lot of bad things. And my past, just being a kid, just being wild, you know. But
yeah,
I could run from it my whole entire life and ignore it, or I face it and accept it and grow from it. And I choose.
All right, Rafiki.
Do
you remember that?
Uh-huh. I just choose not to. I'd rather expose it, deal with it, embrace it, and really embrace it, and then move on.
And that's the point of today. You know, let's talk about what it means to have humanity. Michael's comment, you know, I think that's where what it means to have humanity is: recognize and embrace everything about the human existence, the good, the bad, the ugly. Learn from the bad. Don't be ashamed of the ugly. Yeah. Celebrate the good. You know, do it all, and work with your fellow humans. Work with the people that you've kind of aligned with to build each other up, right? Because that's how we advance. That's how we grow. That's how we become
people
better.
People want to be recognized too. It makes them feel good. And people, you know, acknowledging them, what they're doing. And I encourage everybody, if you see something good out there and it warms your heart or fills your heart up, let them know.
Mm-hmm.
It's important. There are people out here doing things to try to motivate and inspire people. They would love to hear positive. I know I do. I love hearing the positive. And I love hearing the negative too, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. You got to, again, it ain't all sunshines and rainbows, you know? So if we're over here, you know, goofing off and doing things that are probably not the greatest, then I sure would hope that somebody cares enough to call me out on it.
Yo, you know?
You know? Stop. I need to quit that.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop. No.
It was either Mad TV or it might've been Saturday Night Live. It was with
Stewart.
Yeah, that. But the style. Look what I can do. That was Mad TV. But it was a Saturday Night Live skit with God, what was his name? Was it Bob Hot? No, not Bob Hoskins. Bernard. Damn, what was his name? He was like a therapist, and this lady would show up to his office, and he would sit there. He was the voice of damn it. Why am I blanking on his name?
Like me,
Rescuers Down Under. He was the chubby little mouse. He was the voice of that chubby little mouse in the Rescuers, the Disney, you know, remember the Rescuers? It was Bernard and Bianca. Bernard was the fat chubby mouse. Bob Newhart. There it is. I remember it now.
It just now hit me.
Yeah, Bob Newhart. So there was a skit where he was like a therapist, and this lady comes in to his office, and she's you remember that one, where he's like, the solution was I'm gonna give you three words, and it'll work for pretty much everything. And she was going down through this list of everything that she was afraid of. I'm deathly afraid of, you know, being alone or being in a box. And so his solution was just stop it. She goes, well, what he is, just stop it. You don't want to be in a box. Why would you be afraid of being in a box? And he was like, it was crass, and it was like, nowadays people are like, oh, that's so insensitive. But that's literally was the solution for all of her problems, was just stop it.
you know that, and even till today though, that's still pretty sound advice, really.
I mean, look, can it really be that simple? Are we overcomplicating things? Are we thinking that, well, because of this, that thing, and the other that happened in my life, I'm incapable of stopping the feeling this way? Are you really? Are you legitimately incapable of correcting yourself? I say not. I think that your mind and everything about you is so powerful that you can shift lanes, man. You can get off this exit. You can ditch the car entirely, light that bitch on fire, and get a new one. You can, you know what I mean? Like, I'm using metaphors here, but in euphemisms, but it's just that it, like, if you don't like the way certain things are, and again, this isn't to try to dismiss, you know, real and real life illness and whatnot. I'm not trying to downplay or dismiss any of that. But what I'm saying is that a lot of people, I think, just really need to stop it.
Well, I mean, they have to, I know it sounds kind of funny. We're talking about a Saturday night skit, but it's really true though. I mean, if something in your life is going a certain way, you don't like the direction that your life is in, just stop it.
Stop going that way.
You have the power, you have the control to change your environment. The things that go in your life, you have complete control of it. If you just allow yourself to say it's okay. If this marriage is hypothetical, let's say a married couple has been miserable for 20 years and they're ready to move on, but they're afraid to. Well, you know what? Just do it. You got to make yourself happy, because if you're not happy, nobody around you is going to be happy. Mm-hmm. And it's going to make everybody around you miserable. I got divorced out of a 21-year marriage.
Wow.
I was married for 21 years. And it just, I've always wanted to leave her, but I was too afraid. I mean, I got with her when I was 18 and left when I was 41. I didn't know anything outside of life.
Right.
But this. And so my words were, I still use them today. My two favorite words is fuck it. I'm going to do it, or fuck it, I'm not going to do it. Or if something let's say I accidentally dented my car and I'll find grocery cart at the store and I'm fuck it. What point is it going to make? What point is it to throw a fucking fit? You know what? Fuck it. Mm. Or you want to try something new in life. Like for me, yeah. It was wanting to start a podcast. I just said, you know what? Fuck it.
What do you got to lose?
I'm going to try. Something bad's in your life. Something happened bad. You can either dwell on it or say, fuck it. You know what? All right. It was bad. Fuck it. I'm going to move on.
I think there's a good, healthy balance with that too, though, you know, because some of what I see is especially with like younger generations, they really don't care these days, and they'll take those risks and they'll do things without within really reason. Considering when consequences.
I
say fuck
it, I mean, that's just within reason. Mentally, exactly. In your head.
Yeah. You know, don't be afraid to take that leap. Don't be afraid to change. You know, those course corrections need to happen. Even when you're sailing in an open sea, you know, you're going to have things that blow you off course. You got to make those course corrections. You got to get back on track. And sometimes, you know, well, I want to go to that set of islands, or I want to go off of this road, you know, or I want to try it over here and see what that's like. It's okay. Not saying, you know, with reckless abandon, just be all firing and, you know, firing on all cylinders at every single point in time. Like there's moderation, you know what I mean? But to that extent, you know, for sure, don't let your fear of the unknown stop you from taking that step into something that could potentially change your life for the good.
My fuck, it's just like, you know, more or less than like taking chances, not being afraid to explore different things and try different things out. You know, fuck it, give it a try. If it doesn't work, well, there's no,
at least you
try. Try something different. Don't be afraid to explore new things and new opportunities in your life. Now, sometimes that fuck it may, like, you know, you got a job, another job offer, hypothetically, and it requires you to leave your old job to go start something new.
Maybe that's a big one. Sometimes
you can say, fuck it, you know, I'm going to try something new.
Yeah.
Or do you?
That's so much of what our ancestors did, you know what I mean? Taking it back to like a heathen view on things, you know, we hold such in high regard the plight of our ancestors and the things that they did that brought us to where we are now. Like, we are the result of their actions. They took the risks. They got on the boats. They ventured off into new and uncharted areas to discover things.
We wouldn't be here and where we're at now in society if it wasn't for a bunch of fuckets.
Yeah, I mean, can't argue that. I mean, you know,
if they're trying to discover the wheel, and they don't get it the first time, it's square. Then they try again, and it turns out octagon. They go, oh, wait a minute, maybe we try it being completely circle. There was a lot of fuckets in that process to get to the wheel. Oh, fuck it, this one's stupid. Let's try. Fuck it, this doesn't work.
Yeah,
I bet there was tons of fuckets throughout mankind. We wouldn't have these inventions that we have now.
You know, there was you know, hey, that's literally how we got here, was from people doing, you know, literally fucking it. You know, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, boys and
thanks,
girls,
mom,
you know?
And dad,
you know, like
fuck it, I did
flashbacks now.
That's how you're here, son.
Those nights when I was a kid being woken up by noises that I would rather choose to forget.
Yeah, fuck it,
you know, I mean. Oh man, we've all been there. I think we've all had those horror stories of, you know, hearing that mac and cheese being made in the next room or something. You know what I'm saying?
Mom, I'm gonna throw up in my mouth now. I just had an ungodly image of that.
We just went off onto some. We went off into the humanity. The humanity.
We went into the conceiving part of humanity. And look, if you guys wanted a show about humanity, you guys are definitely getting it tonight.
And we showed up, didn't we?
Yeah, we came exposed all humanity.
All aspects. The good, the bad, the ugly, the smelly, you know, the sweaty.
Well, I mean, this has really been a great show because our conversation hasn't been around a certain path or a belief. We're exposing us. In the sense, in this conversation, that we expose some of our thoughts, our processes, we're showing our human side of who we are. Just understand a bit about what we do. We come from a different cut of cloth. We've all had different experiences, and we're exposing that today in this conversation, giving everybody an idea of who we are as people and the reason why we do the things that we do.
Absolutely. And I think with, you know, consideration of your time and everyone else's time, I feel like that's a great point to venture off into our outro with. And before I do, I do want to just say real quick, so thank you, Michael, for the comment and raising this as a topic. You know, this was a lot of fun. And for you, Sid, I'd like to say again, thanks for being a guest. And let the people know. Yeah, plug anything that you want. If you got a, you know, shows coming up, anything, projects that you got going on with Inner Demon Media.
You guys can check us out pretty much Facebook. Find us on Inner Demon Media. We post bands. I promote bands. We have this. We do our show Talking with Heathens with myself and Papa. We got some more new shows coming up as well. You can check us out, like I said, on YouTube as well. Inner Demon Media. Just punch it up here. Punch it in a search bar. Or you can come check us out on Inner Demon Radio. We have various artists. I get on there and DJ myself. And that's the last. We have a chat room. And most of these internet radio stations don't have chat rooms. Fortunately for us, we have a chat room. And nice. about every single show, we have gift wars. So it's always fun. So come check us out there as well. But yeah, just follow us, Inner Demon Media. That's all I have to say.
Awesome. I'll be sure to link everything that you've got, all your socials, your radio station, down in the description and show notes for people to follow. So for everybody watching and listening, follow Sid on all of his socials. They'll be linked down below or over here or there or wherever it is that you find it on the platforms that you listen to this on. So check them out and support them in that way.
I hate promoting myself. I want to let you know that, Jesse.
Really?
I don't like doing that. I don't know
why. It's like that necessary housekeeping, you know, like we got to get it out of the way, you know, whatever. Got to do the dishes, got to fold the laundry, you know.
Got to do it. Gosh. All right.
Just take the trash out.
You can find me anywhere.
Yeah.
You can Google me. And I think you can Google us now. We're like on top of the list of, there's not very many people that do Inner Demon Media, but, you know, me being ballsy and doing it. But you can find us on Google. Just Google search us. You'll find the radio station, the Facebook pages, YouTube pages.
Fantastic. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, definitely check them out, folks. And thank you for tuning in today in terms of all the ways that you can support this podcast and Midgard Musings brand. You know, the Linktree link is posted down below. Check it out. See all the things that are up there for you to engage with and be engaging. Again, as I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast, all of your comments and people that write in or call in, we do have a hotline. It's 615-671-9832. Leave a voicemail. We'll feature you here as well. But you can write in midgardmusingstn@gmail.com. Keep it up. Keep it coming. This is the fuel of great conversations, and we love it. So thank you all so much for your ongoing and constant support. Is greatly appreciated. Until we talk to each other again on the next episode, may the gods continue to notice you and may your ancestors smile upon you.